Welcome home. We are WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We're positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. There's a whole bunch of dates. We're going to all the usual suspects where the crab cakes are delicious. We will be at Fadley's next week. We will also be Coco's, Pappas, Costas, and State Fair, all in order, all during the month of June. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. If you've been following out on social media, you know I've been out in on the West Coast with a big Maryland contingent of business owners and different people. Took a little respite in the middle of the week. Almost, Luke Jones flew into St. Louis on Wednesday morning for the afternoon game. That would have been two afternoon games, and it would have been Pappy's Barbecue doesn't usually give me indigestion in St. Louis, but I think this is the kind of series that probably even a Ted Drew's frozen custard, after 3 days of running between tornadoes, raindrops, storms, and losses. It's over, Luke. I know this is going to kill you, but the streak is over.
Can I be fully honest and say I'm glad it's over? I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and you've heard me rant about this. Friends have heard me rant about this. Listeners have heard me rant about it. The streak ended last October.
Right. It ended the night we left Arlington and you were in the locker room and I was locked out. Correct. Yeah. That's exactly when it ended. Right.
So, and I say that with no disrespect to winning 91 series in a row from just a few days before Adley Rutschman's arrival in the major leagues in May of 2022 through the end of last year's regular season. It was impressive. It was wild. It's weird. It was absolutely something that correlated and accentuated the Orioles' climb from being the laughingstock of baseball for 4 years to the best team in the American League in the regular season last year. But it was, practically speaking, over when they got swept last October. You know that it grated on me. I was annoyed, quite frankly, at continuing to prop it up to start this year. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, it's this simple. Any regular season accomplishment that requires you to ignore something that happens in October to continue celebrating it isn't worth celebrating anymore. It's akin to, I think, of Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, Nestor. Let's say that that streak was over two seasons, which that's happened in Major League Baseball with long hitting streaks before. But if a World Series flop occurred in the middle of that, New Yorkers would have been the first to tell you that look, we love Joe D, but he went 0-4 in the World Series. So, look, rant over.
Three it's times.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Ran over. It's fine. It was a heck of an accomplishment. I thought the continuing to celebrate it this year, continuing to hype it up this year, was disingenuous and hollow, mainly because this is still a really good baseball team that, 3 days in St. Louis aside, there's still a whole lot to like about this team. Now we can put that behind us, and it's a matter of needing to get back on track here quickly, because this was not a very pretty series in St. Louis. So they didn't swing the bats well, which is something that's the last couple of weeks has become more of a common occurrence. They didn't pitch all that terribly well. And what was the real legitimate, authentic bad news from Wednesday afternoon? John Means leaving with elbow discomfort. And now, once again, asking where his status is going to be moving forward. And
well, you made the mistake of a six-man rotation. Once the manager mentioned six-man rotation, something bad's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, the Lord will scoff at your plans at times. So it really unfortunate in that regard. I think the saving grace here, you hope, is that the Orioles are now going to Chicago for 4 days to play an awful White Sox team. I mean, it's no excuse. If anything less than 3 out of 4 here, fans have a right to be upset about. There's no question about it, especially with the reality of the Yankees continuing to play at a really high level ever since that 4-game series in Baltimore at the beginning of the month. So nothing to panic over, let's be clear, but there's definitely some urgency to turn the page here quickly, to not wallow in it. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, Brandon Hyde talked about this last week. I really never got the sense, maybe last year a little bit, but I never got the sense this year, in terms of the new season and after what happened last October, that the players and coaches cared about this streak. This was much more something that was contrived by media and fans to try to keep it going.
Contrived by Masson. You know, I mean, we get the production of the Major League Baseball team. The same people who forced Kevin Brown off the mic last year are still running the place. I happen to know this because you have a press box seat and I don't. So I have tempered all of this until Mr. Rubenstein has control of this and that to see what the media part of it's going to be. But we're still, Peter Angelos is still alive. His spirit still runs through that part of, that's the way they know how to do things. You know what I mean? Maybe Rock remembers what it's like to be a real journalist back in the day when he didn't have a boss in the other room saying, sniff up the stats, make the stats smell better. This is one of those stats smell better. We have a streak, even though we don't really have a streak, but we have a streak. So here, let's talk about the streak. And that is modern media. And that's also, to some degree, the Orioles fan base and what the battered part of the people that were still there wanting anything to hold on to, especially after you get swept. Because it wasn't a good vibe down in Arlington to leave there and say, well, at least our streak's intact. And this becomes a media thing. It's not forever anyway. And it's an amazing thing. To not get, I mean, for Rutschman especially, right? Because he was the centerpiece of getting called up and never having been swept. He's been in the big leagues 2 years. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, the streak itself, and as I wrote, it was an incredible team feat from May of 22 through the end of September last year. I mean, 91 straight series they went without being swept. That in and of itself was not the accomplishment. That was the reflection of just how consistently good they had become over close to 2 years leading into that ALDS. So it was never about that itself. It was just indicative of what this team had become. And that wasn't taken away by what happened in October, but that's where the streak practically speaking died. And to keep it going just on a technicality of, oh, it's a regular season streak again, especially a team accomplishment, you know, it was over. So now it's officially over. So they turn the page, you flush this series as quickly as you can. You need to start swinging the bats more consistently. And again, we've talked about that the last couple of weeks, even with, you know, large stretches of May, we've talked about it. It's been their pitching that's really kind of led the way a little bit more so than April at the very least. So, you know, what happens with John Means here, we're going to see. You hope it's nothing structural. I have my thoughts at this point of maybe a bullpen role is what's best for him at this point. Now that creates its own challenges from a durability standpoint, but I mean, it's hard to overlook the fact that four starts last September, elbow soreness, four starts now in May, elbow soreness. So is it a case of maybe he needs to be shortened up? Maybe he shifts to a long relief or a middle relief kind of role. Maybe that keeps him in better shape. But Nestor, this is also why I kept saying over and over and over when fans heard the news about Kyle Bradish, and look, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Bradish. We have no idea. So far, so good for the most part, I'd say. But I said it at the time, we've gotten way too casual, way too flippant about guys undergoing Tommy John surgery. Because it's so prevalent, because the return rate is really high, some people almost treat it like it's a tune-up, and it's not that.
Dude, if anybody thinks that Bautista's going to come back and throw 103 next April,
he very well might. No, I'll disagree with that. They very well might, but if you expect that 100%, no questions asked, and you expect that there's going to be no hiccups and you're going to be shocked if there are, then you're not paying attention. Because the point is, yes, we've come a long way with elbow UCL reconstruction surgery, and now there's even the internal brace surgery that we're seeing some guys get that have had Tommy John before and might expedite the recovery a little bit, but it's still a really serious thing. So even if it's a low percentage chance, the guys that have a chance to avoid Tommy John surgery entirely, and I've cited, you know, Aaron Nola, for example, for the Phillies, who had a UCL injury, I think it's 8 years ago, and he's still going strong. Now, that doesn't mean he won't have it at some point. But the point is, when you get cut open, when you have your elbow ligament replaced, repaired, however you want to describe it, there's risk there that you're not going to come back and be the same. And John Means now 25 months later, I'm not going to bury him. That doesn't mean he's not going to get right here at some point, but boy, he's lost 2 years of his career. I mean, he's going to be a free agent. I mean, that's, you feel for the guy. He's made some money in arbitration. So it's not as though he's in the poorhouse. Let's be clear about that, but this is a guy who was an all-star. This is a guy who threw a no-hitter 3 years ago. And he's not right. Hasn't been able to stay right for an extended period of time. So that was my point with Bradish, where, yeah, you go the conservative route. You see if a PRP injection makes a difference. And look, a week from now, we might be talking about Kyle Bradish, you know, with his elbow bothering him, or a month from now, or a year from now. But that's why it's worth it to at least go that route, to attempt to avoid surgery, because if you can, then great. You don't lose a year of your career. You don't have potential long-term complications. So, you know, look, you have to get it. Tommy John surgery, you have to get it. And most guys end up in that position, but that's why you at least explore it, because John Means is the latest example of, hey, it's not always a seamless 12 to 14 months and then you're back and you're fine. And especially in this day and age, Nestor, where we're now seeing guys need Tommy John or UCL surgery. Yeah, we're seeing it now, guys, 4 or 5 years later, they're having to get it again. So, it's unfortunate. And to your point, you know, all the talk about the six-man rotation, I wrote about it over the weekend. And, well, now that's at least tabled for right now, unless they're going to bring someone else up. But in the meantime, turn the page. Four-game series against the White Sox. Chicago's been terrible. They've worst team in the American League. Win 3 out of 4. You win 3 out of 4, then you're feeling okay. But certainly wasn't a great feeling leaving St. Louis on Wednesday after, you know, the weird suspended game loss where, they scored one run. And then, unfortunately, losing the lead late in Wednesday's, you know, I guess it wasn't a nightcap because it technically wasn't a doubleheader, but just not good enough and sloppy. And like we said, not swinging the bats nearly consistently enough here of late.
All right. So, two things jump out at me because I've been gone, right? I was completely off the grid Saturday and Sunday in Las Vegas, Monday, then Tuesday in LA, and I flew back Wednesday. And I didn't watch a lot of baseball, but I'm watching on the phone. Joe Enoch and I were together on Sunday. He had the phone rolling in the casino. We're watching the Oriole game at a bar where everything's on but the Orioles, but it was on his phone. So we got to watch a little bit of the game on Monday night to get the party started. And this is full disclosure, I'm in a bar in LA and the game popped up on the MLB, you know, shoot in, and they're talking about that. And I didn't look, I'm not a scoreboard watch. Forgive me. I don't scoreboard watch in May. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really all that interested in what the Yankees are doing, but then I looked up literally when I landed on Wednesday night, I'm like, they lost a couple of games, right? I mean, I know what's going on, and I'm like, they're 3 games back. Oh my God, they're in second place. Like, since I left, but to me, that's the story is we're around here flying our flag and we're the greatest. And I don't know if Luke, but they haven't been swept in 2 years. I don't know if you knew that or not. And you think like they're in first place forever, or they're willed to first place, or they've been in first place for a period of time. They spent most of last year chasing Toronto Tampa after the start that they had in the beginning of the year. And now this year they jump out to this lead. It feels like pitching's going to be a problem. Hitting's never going to be a problem. This team's going to hit. This team's go through my Twitter. I probably have said that 6 times. This team can hit the ball until they don't. And the Yankees are a problem. And it certainly looks like whatever you think of the Yankees and payroll and hating them for a million years and pinstripes and all of that, they're going to be the gorilla this year. And the Orioles are going to have to be the engine that could. And all the talk we've had about trade, bullpen help, all the things that they're going to need to do to augment themselves to be competitive, the Yankees are going to hold them to task.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here and say that they haven't been really impressive. I mean, they're playing 667 ball. I mean, the Yankees have been in first place for a minute here. I mean, it not just the last 3 days either. I mean, they've been on a roll since the Orioles took 3 out of 4 from them. It wasn't until this week where they dropped a couple in that Mariners series. I mean, the Yankees only had lost twice going into this Mariners series since that Orioles series, which was what, April 29th through May 2nd, whatever it was. It was 3 weeks ago at this point. You know, they've gotten contributions. Obviously, Soto's been huge for Judge. The bat was always going to wake up, and it has.
Maybe I shouldn't have yelled at him. Contributions from some other guys. Maybe I woke him up. Yeah.
I mean, that was always going to happen. Look, I'm still skeptical if guys like Stanton, some of the other veterans in that lineup are going to stay healthy. I'm still skeptical about Gerrit Cole coming back healthy in the same way that people were probably, Yankee fans are skeptical about Kyle Bradish staying healthy for the Orioles and John Means staying healthy for the Orioles. So there you go. So there's always that. I mean, there's always the health of your pitching staff. So that's always at work. We saw that big time with Tampa last year. You know, they got off to that big start and we kind of forget, well, they lost McClanahan. They lost some other starters in that rotation and they did a admirable job trying to hang on and they still made the playoffs, but that was a big factor. Let's call a spade. I'm not saying that the Orioles didn't deserve to win the division, but Tampa went through a lot with their rotation last year. So you never really know. That's why you never deem a division race to be over in April or May. And I'm certainly not going to do that right now with the Yankees being in first, to your point, at the end of this series, three games up, but long way to go. You never know what's going to happen, but the way it's looking when you look at the rest of the division, and I will give Boston a nod. Boston has pitched better than I thought they would. And, you know, their bats have come alive here of late. So, but they're still lagging behind. You know, this still really does feel like a two-team race before it's all said and done because, you know, Tampa's kind of been in that two steps forward, three steps back. Blue Jays, same way. You know, that every time you think they're going to go on, get on a roll and, you know, they have a good series or two and then they lose four in a row. So, but it looks like Orioles, Yankees. And even with this three game losing streak, even with this sweep for the Orioles, they're still on pace to win 100 games. It's not as though they've played poorly by any stretch, but the Yankees have just been that impressive. So it really is a matter, and I think you had the right mindset, even with this sweep, even with being three games out now, as we're rapidly, you know, Memorial Day weekend's here, not rapidly approaching it, it's here. You know, they still need to focus on themselves. You know, they continue to play well, they continue to win series, forget about the sweepless streak, who cares? Just win series, get yourself back on track, beat the teams you're supposed to beat. They've been really good against good teams this year. They've been a little so-so against bad teams, you know, St. Louis being another example here. But it really is a matter of focusing on what you can control. And yeah, you're going to take a peek at the standings. That's inevitable. But if they win and play at a level they're capable of playing at, they're going to be right there with the Yankees. And then we'll see what the head-to-head and what the summer months and what September looks like. So it really is a matter of not thinking too much about the big picture and trying to compartmentalize that right there, Nestor. That's how you go 2 years without being swept in the regular season. That's how you win 101 games like they did last year, where you really can compartmentalize and say, all right, we can't worry about what's happening in New York or what's going to happen 3 weeks from now. Win tonight's game. It's that simple. And they've done for a young team, they've done a heck of a job of doing that for 2 years now. And that's why, despite the disappointment, despite, you know, pretty ugly series here, not so inspiring baseball, I do fully expect this team to right themselves much sooner rather than later here.
All right, Luke Jones is here. Last thing, and we'll get to football, and we're going to go out and do all that. It's a little bit of a weird holiday weekend. If you hear some best of this weekend, that's where we are for Memorial Day weekend. I've been away this week. This time 2 years ago, they bring Rutschman up. At the time they brought Rutschman up, you would have said their three best players were Santander, Mullins, and Hayes. Santander 206, Hayes 148, Mullins 190, and an incomplete, and Mullins at 191. Look, it's one thing to say Rutschman, the stars of the team. I guess Westberg's becoming one. Kowser's moved into a role. He's got people running around mooing in cows. He must be a star. That's what stars do. And this concern for the elder statesman on the team and Stowers, and at some point, I haven't heard Jackson Holliday's name in 3 weeks. That'll be happening soon because it's you know, we're going to be after Memorial Day next week, right? The composition of the team, the composition of the lineup, and the fact that when things aren't going well for the lineup, I'd love to say, well, it's not going well, but at least we got Mullins on track. It's not going well, but Santander's not looking like the worst version of himself at this point that we've seen here for 5-6 years. Your thoughts on the veteran guys, because it's a different makeup for the team because we think of them as being so young, but I don't think we thought these former all-stars and you know, that they would be the weakest part of the link here as we get into the second third of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the transition in seeing Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and Jordan Westberg, you know, those guys become the best players on the team. I don't think that's shocking in and of itself. I mean, Adley Rutschman was 1-1 for a reason. Gunnar Henderson was the number one prospect in baseball for a reason 2 years ago.
Rutschman's leading the team in batting average, even.
Yeah,
I mean, which
sure,
is
sure.
I didn't expect that, by the way. Yeah.
I mean, batting on base percentage, yeah, sure. But yeah, I mean, the fact that he's hitting .296 and hasn't walked a whole lot, you know, which that's another plot line that, you know, subplot that we haven't talked about a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, Santander has not really swung the bat the way that we've seen him swing the last couple of years, which was, you know, a fringe 30 home run guy, draw walks at a higher rate than he used to. But yeah, the power hasn't been there. He did, you know, the previous series, he hit the wall. What was that? I guess I'm trying to think. I guess that was the end of the Toronto series. My days are getting mixed up. But point was, he bruised his knee on the right field wall at Camden Yards. Saw him Sunday morning, had a heck of a bruise on it, you know, really wrapped up. I mean, you could tell. That's why we've seen him DH and have some days off here. It's one of those cases where if he's that banged up, why not put him on the IL? Bring Heston Kjerstad up and let him start for 10 days, right? I mean, let him play every day for 10 days.
But, I forgot Kjerstad, by the way. I didn't even mention him anymore.
He was sent back. He was sent back down, right?
Right.
I mean, understand. Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, I mean, with Santander, with Mullins, who, you know, he had a nice series to close out the homestand, and you're thinking, okay, maybe this is the start of him getting going. He had the bunt single. He had two hits, two RBIs on Sunday, and then not so much in St. Louis. And Austin Hayes, same thing. I mean, it's not that these guys aren't their best players anymore. That was expected, right? When you have all these prospects that are coming up over the last couple of years, that's going to happen, but they've got to get going. I mean, they do. I mean, it's below the bar, to use a John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick phrase. It's below the bar what they're doing. They'd be the first to tell you that right now. So while those guys aren't part of the long-term future of this team, because we know contractually Santander's up this year, Hayes and Mullins next year, they're not going to be extended. I think that's evident at this point. But in the meantime, you want them to get back to the players they were last year and the players they were 2 years ago. And in Mullins' case, 3 years ago now. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I don't expect them all to be benched, but I'll go back to my point about Colton Cowser at the beginning of the year. Let, you know, Cowser plays every day now, but let Kyle Stowers get some at-bats. You know, these guys don't have to play every day, especially when they're not producing. So it really is a case. If you're Brandon Hyde, it's, hey, let's go. You know, if you're in the lineup, you got to produce. If not, I'm putting someone else in. So they need their veteran guys to get going. These guys aren't 35 years old. They shouldn't be washed up. But they certainly need to get going, because we've talked about it. It can't just be Gunnar Henderson every night. Can't just be Rutschman. Can't just be Ryan O'Hearn and Westberg. You know, they need to get some more consistency. And even Ryan Mountcastle, another guy who struggled of late, who, you know, you expect to be one of their, you know, he's one of their middle of the order bats. So they need this lineup to get going much more consistently, top to bottom, and can't just be relying on Gunnar Henderson to hit a 3-run home run every night. Although he's pretty darn good at doing that most of the time.
He's Luke Jones. He is our Oriole insider. The Orioles will be inside of a stadium that has Aparicio on the facade and a beautiful statue out in center field of my cousin. Weekend in the south side of Chicago. Don't expect a lot of fans in the stadium on this week as we get back on it. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road everywhere we go all month long. You can add Coopers and Sláinte. We have a new sponsor. By the way, I just got that text in the middle of this deal here. We're going to be doing the show up at Coopers North, and we're going to be promoting Fleet Week 3 weeks from now down at the Inner Harbor and in Fells Point, and a big celebration down there. All are brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away. Big thanks to our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions for keeping the water running and clean. And last but certainly never least, Jiffy Lube Multicare, keeping the car running clean and neat so I can run around and do Maryland Crab Cake Tours and Luke can get himself down to the ballpark. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. If you hear some best of this weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend. We're making a run for summertime at WNST.